We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joined right now by the great Tom Verducci. You can watch on MLB Tonight at 8 o'clock. Plus, MLB Network will exclusively air two American League Division Series games this postseason. We are almost there. We are a few weeks away from October baseball. Tom, yep. Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Tom, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, guys?
What do you make, you know, because we're talking about this Yankee season. This has been as bizarre Yankee season as we've ever seen. Not the fact they're going to win over 100 games. That happens. That happens a lot. Winning a division, that happens, even though it hadn't happened in a while.
12.
But for them to deal with the injuries they've dealt with at such a level where you think it's slowing down, and then you get a guy back like Betances, and he ruptured his Achilles hopping off the mound. I mean, this has been like unlike any season we've ever seen with the Yankees. What's your take on this whole thing?
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I remember covering the Mets in 87 when all their starting pitchers went down, and I thought that was really weird. But the way these guys have been going down, and we're talking about impact players. I mean, Dellin Betances, I feel so bad for the guy. Worked so hard to get back. You know, he had a good three-year period there where he was one of the five best relief pitchers in all of baseball, right? We're not talking about just a fringe talent guy. So between Severino, Stanton, and Betances, and the list goes on and on, you're talking about all-star caliber players one after another going down. So, no, I've never seen anything like it. And I've said this all season, guys, that the Yankees have done a great job not just identifying players to add depth to their rosters, but making them better with the Yankees than they've been anywhere else. And you can go back to, you know, even Aaron Hicks and Luke Voit before this season, but certainly the Urshelas of the world, the LeMahieus of the world. I mean, they have just their professional scouting, and I want to throw the coaches in there as well, minor leaguers and major leaguers, because they're developing better major league players, not just, you know, finding guys in the draft or, you know, a throw in the trade the way Herman was, but just the way they develop players that bring the absolute best out of them, that's a credit to their entire staff.
And you got to give Cashman a lot of credit here, too. I mean, this guy, to me, I've said it all a long time, this is one of the top GMs in baseball now for 20-something. You don't stay as the Yankee general manager for basically 20 years if you're not pretty good. And the job he's done this year, you know, you talk about these guys, whether it's, you know, Tauchman, you mentioned Voit, Urshela, bringing Cameron Maybin in. I don't care who the guy has been. Every one of them has gotten the job done. You got to really give tremendous credit. And DJ signing LeMahieu when everybody said sign Harper, sign Machado, you got to give this guy tremendous credit.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, listen, I think one of the most difficult things in this day and age now is bullpens, right? And certainly if you're a Mets fan, you understand that.
No,
they got a
that.
Couple of guys in Britton and Ottavino who they've actually hit on. You go back and look at veteran free agent relief pitchers in the market last year, and a lot of them got paid. Most of them bombed out. You want to tell me Andrew Miller has been okay? He hasn't been great. He's been okay for St. Louis. Two of the best, the Yankees got both of them. And you think of all the money the Rockies spent on veteran relief pitchers last year, it's a very difficult game to play, and they hit on those. Listen, I think, you know, the Mets and the Yankees both had about $50 million to spend on a second baseman and a relief pitcher, right?
Yes.
The Yankees got LeMahieu and Ottavino, and the Mets got Familia and Lowry.
Wow,
I mean,
what a
that
mismatch,
says it all
man.
About how hot a hand Brian Cashman had all winter.
Well, don't forget the trade for the relief pitcher and the second baseman as well.
Oh,
let's
yes,
not forget
too.
That one, Tom.
Throw
okay?
that one in there. Diaz and Cano.
Diaz, who's been the reverse MVP of the season for
the That's a good, yes, the LVP of the
right,
Mets.
Right.
You know, you look at the Yankees and Astros, and they're always compared, and we'll see if they play in the ALCS. A lot of funny stuff can happen in the postseason. The decision's very easy for A.J. Hinch. He's got Verlander. He's got Gerrit Cole. He's got Zach Greinke to start the first three games. He'll probably pitch Wade Miley in game four. For Boone, I don't know. I mean, I think Tanaka, to me, should be a lock for game one. I would trust him in a big spot. You have to feel really good about James Paxton. So you know those two guys are making starts. How would you work the rest of the rotation? Are you in favor of deploying Domingo Herman and or Luis Severino in more of a role where there's an opener first? Would you give them more of a traditional start? How would you work the rest of the Yankee postseason rotation, Tom?
Yeah, I don't want to skip or avoid your question here, but I want to see Severino take the ball these next two times, because what I saw last night, that might change what I do with the rotation. I mean, he was really, really good last night. I mean, that's the best that you could hope for from a guy out 5 months. I just thought his delivery was super clean. He wasn't trying to overdo anything. He was pinpointing his fastball. He overthrew a couple of fastballs. It's going to happen. But I just think the way the baseball came out of his hand and the way he commanded it, velocity was fine. The arm strength is only going to get better. Listen, I mean, that made me think that he's more than just a piggyback starter possibility that you're going to have to watch third time around the lineup. He might be the kind of guy you can let go. Right now, I trust Paxton a lot the way he's throwing. I mean, he finally, after 3.5 months of throwing, you know, fastballs and cutters 85% of the time, he's basically doubled his curveball rate in the stretch he's had of 9 straight starts. Now, he's not a guy you can trust 3 times around. I get that. He's kind of the Yankees version of Rich Hill. But you've got the bullpen to cover that. So I trust Paxton to really buzz through a lineup 2 times. Tanaka, kind of the same thing. Short leash on him. I do trust him in a big spot. We've seen that before. I think he makes very few mistakes in big games. He's just so smart staying out of the middle of the zone. They have very interesting options here, but I'll tell you what, because of the depth, because of the off days in the postseason calendar, they're going to use plenty of pitchers in a variety of different ways. And I think whether they script games out, whether they go piggyback starters, I think they can go many different ways. And I just think that we have to stop looking at these postseason teams and saying, well, you know, they don't have Verlander and Cole, or they don't have Corbin and Scherzer and Strasburg, so therefore they're disadvantaged. The game is not played that way anymore, man. You use as many pitchers as you can in many ways as possible. And I just think the Yankees have more good options than most teams. Yeah, they don't have a lockdown starting pitcher right now, but I think they have Aaron Boone has more good options to go win a baseball game than most any team.
Talking to Tom Verducci, talking, of course, baseball with him. The wild card in the American League, how do you see that playing out, Tom?
I like Oakland. Their schedule is really easy. They've got a 2-game lead. I think they're in. You know, it comes down to Tampa Bay and Cleveland. For me, Tampa Bay finishing with Boston. Those could be difficult games. It doesn't look like Mookie's going to be back with that foot injury, but Boston can give anybody a hard time just because of their offense. Cleveland's got an easy schedule. Kind of weird, though. You know, they have 2 National League series coming up. They play the Phillies this weekend. They finish on the road in Washington, which is kind of weird where, you know, you're playing for an American League wild card, playing under National League rules on the last weekend of the season. But I would give the edge to Tampa Bay. They're getting healthy. They got Snell back last night. Glasnow has come back. Yadier Chirinos is on his way back as well. So I would say right now I'd go Oakland and Tampa Bay in that game.
I'm trying to ignore the past when I say this because I know that the Yankees always beat the Minnesota Twins. They beat them in the regular season. They beat them in the postseason. They always beat them. I do, though, look at the Twins, if I ignore that, as clearly the most dangerous team in the first round of the playoffs, even more dangerous than Oakland. They have an incredible lineup, and they've got at least some arms in the rotation led by Berríos that are pretty good. Would you agree the Twins are the most dangerous team, or do you look at – I know Joe does. He looks at the history and says, yeah, come on, bro, right. It's the Twins.
Yeah, well,
the
I
Yankees
told you.
Always kill them.
The last time they beat the Yankees, Olive and Killebrew were in the lineup.
Yes.
I'm with Joe on this one. I know it's a different team, different manager. We know, you know, now they have 5 guys with 30 home runs. That's great, but you know, they do play in the AL Central. There's a lot of wins and a lot of home runs to be had when you have their schedule. And I've just seen that movie too many times before. I don't want to see it again. Yankees and Twins. And again, I picked the Twins to win their division this year. I love this team from spring training. I respect the heck out of them. But, yeah, them walking into Yankee Stadium and getting big outs in the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, I just don't see it happening right now. I mean, they could surprise me. I think Oakland is a dangerous team. I really do. If they get the wild card game at home, I like them a lot. They're a very tough, difficult team at home. I don't know if you've seen this kid, Jesus Luzardo, coming out of the bullpen for them. He's kind of a game changer for them, a Josh Hader type guy. He can pitch multiple innings and just shut down a game. Sean Manaea has come back, and he's thrown the ball really, really well. Liam Hendricks has been great all year. I think Oakland, to me, is the one team that's being underrated as a scary postseason opponent. Now, I still think it's going to come down to an epic 7-gamer between the Yankees and the Astros, but Oakland would be my team to watch out for.
Are the Mets done, Tom?
They're as close to done as being done can be because the math just doesn't work. I mean, they've got maximum two more losses that they can afford. Probably only one.
Yeah, probably
none.
It's just
so hard to do. It's just too hard to do.
Right.
I mean, you're right about the bullpen, Joe. I mean,
oh, it's killed
if
them.
The bullpen
it,
was
yes.
just
no question.
Mediocre.
No question about it.
It didn't have to be great. If it was mediocre,
yep.
this
yep.
is a playoff team.
Yep, yep. No doubt about it. 100%.
What should it – because I think what the Mets have accomplished, and I think they've done it for me, they've certainly done it for Joe, in that we look at them, they're five games above 500. They've been a much different team than they were for the first few months. And I think we actually go into the offseason optimistic. We go into the optimistic about the guys they have on this roster. Should we be? I mean, are you confident with the look of this team? And obviously there's an offseason coming, but, hey, spoiler alert, they're not going to spend a lot of money. I mean, they're not going to go out and sign Anthony Rendon.
What a surprise.
So do you share the optimism, at least, for this franchise moving forward into 2020?
I do. I really do. I mean, you look at the growth of their position players, their young position players, and that core is really encouraging. You know, McNeil, Conforto, J.D. Davis, I think, much better player than a lot of us thought he might have been. Rosario's second half, both offensively and defensively. I've seen a lot of growth with this team, with players now who are just scratching the surface of their prime. That's a really good thing. You win today's game with young players. They're packed with young players. I guess the good news about the bullpen guys is bullpens are pretty fungible, right? Bad to good, good to bad. So they're bound to be better, you would think. You know, it's not like you're going to be bad forever because it was a bad year. I don't know what they could do with Diaz. I mean, that's a completely different individual situation. But if they could just figure out the bullpen, the starting pitching we know is so good. The weird thing about their bullpen is it's not because of overuse, right? They weren't overexposed. I think they've thrown the third fewest innings of any bullpen in baseball. And yet they lost 31 games. They're one of the four or five worst bullpens in baseball. I can't really throw it on the manager. I wouldn't really blame his bullpen usage. I just think the options weren't very good. And again, letting too many games get away. You give me, I mean, I'm going to be greedy here. Give me four or five of those games that they had in hand that absolutely flushed down the drain. And they're playing in a wild card game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. All right. If you're the Mets going forward next year, to me, Wheeler's a free agent. It seems like they don't like Syndergaard. I mean, that's me. Look, I've seen it before with Murphy, with Turner. They don't like guys. You know, I saw it with Ike Davis. A lot of guys don't like them, you know, which is typical Mets. And so I don't know if both of these guys are going to be there going forward. Would you, A, try to re-sign Wheeler? Because you got to sign one of them. To me, you got to at least have Wheeler or Syndergaard locked up long-term going forward. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know that Wheeler's coming back. I think he's going to have a pretty good market. You know, he's just the inconsistency bothers me a little bit that I'm not sure that I would pay what I think his freight is going to be. Syndergaard is, I think, always been frustrating. I know he loves that two-seam fastball, that sinker. I would love to see him transition more to a four-seam guy pitching up in the zone. I don't know. I know not everybody can do that. It seems not to be in his wheelhouse, but I certainly would try. I think their underrated sleeper to me is Seth Lugo. He would be in my rotation. I've been saying this for the last couple of years.
Okay.
I really like Seth Lugo as a starting pitcher. And I'm not saying he's a one or a two or anything like that, but you're talking about a three or a four in a rotation. There's going to be a point where that guy's going to do it for somebody, and it should be for the Mets.
So let me say this then. So you think Wheeler's gone. Now give him the qualifying offer, and it is $18 million. Maybe, who knows? He might take it. You never know. But I mean, so let's say Wheeler's gone. So what about Syndergaard? I mean, they're always talking trade about this guy and all of this stuff. And, you know, Conte wouldn't give him the catcher he wants. Now they will. Now that the cat's out of the bag, now we'll give you the catcher you want, which to me is ridiculous. But whatever. What's the future in that situation, Tom?
I think the future is be prepared to hear his name on the trade market again. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think they should see what they could get from Noah Syndergaard. And I'm not saying I would want to trade him, but I would definitely see what I could get for him at this point. And, again, I like the pitcher. I still think there's more in there with him. But going forward, I think the Mets should see what's out there. If there's somebody that's in love with Noah Syndergaard and they look at the velocity and spin rate and think they can turn him into, you know, Gerrit Cole, you know, knock yourself out. But I think the Mets owe it to themselves to see what they can get. And I'm with you, Joe, by the way. I think the Mets also are not completely sold on Noah for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I don't want to be really super proactive and saying get him off my team. I'm not saying that. But I just think value-wise, you have to see what you can get.
So then don't you have to re-sign Wheeler then? If you're going to dangle Syndergaard, and I understand Lugo, I get what you're saying, but if you're going to dangle Syndergaard, don't you have to re-sign Wheeler?
Well, tell me what the price is. I mean, not at all costs, but I do think it would make it a little more important to retain one of those guys. You make a good point with that. It's hard to just take those innings out of the rotation. That's a lot, right? A lot of wins, a lot of innings, and those two guys that would be difficult to replace. But where that number goes on Wheeler, I think that's going to be really, really interesting.
Which, speaking of interesting, we got a week and a half now left in this season. Which race is intriguing you the most? The three-team for two-spot American League wildcard race or kind of the jumbled National League Central slash National League wildcard race, which the Nationals are in, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Cardinals. Which are you most intrigued about over the next week and a half?
That last one you mentioned, the Central slash wildcard, because I think the Cubs are in trouble. You know, the Brewers have a very easy schedule. They look like they're doing what they did last September, where they just got a roll.
I think we're losing Tom,
yeah,
but either way, Tom did a great job, always. Tom Verducci, and you could watch him on MLB tonight at 8 o'clock. Plus, MLB Network's going to exclusively air two American League Division Series games this postseason. I'm intrigued by the NL race, not only because the Mets are still sort of oddly involved
sort of
in it,
right?
But I'm a big fan of chaos, and we may have some chaos in that race with the Central involved, the two wild card spots involved, the Nationals involved. But nothing's going to top last year because last year we had 2 one-game playoffs for two division titles, and then the two losers went out and played the wild card game.
Right.
So we had some nice, I guess, organized chaos, if you will, last year in the playoff race. But we're a week and a half away, and we're going to finally find out who the Yankees are playing. Oakland, Tampa, Cleveland, Minnesota. All legitimate possibilities depending on how this season concludes.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.